I'll try that again. Good morning, folks. Well, it's the first Sunday of the month. So Jim mentioned that we have the kids and the teachers sitting in here with us. And part of the reason for that is so that we can offer communion. Communion. So I'm going to get my phone open to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. You're welcome to look that up if you'd like. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, and we practice open communion here. And you may say, Dennis, what does open communion mean? Well, we are not going to ask you what church you go to. We're going to ask you if you have received Christ as your Savior. Or if you're a parent of kids who are old enough and you believe that they have received Christ as Savior, you're welcome. You're welcome to join us. And if you are, as the scripture talks about, if you have an issue that you're concerned with and you need to bring to the Lord and straighten out ahead of time, you can pass it by too. Feel free to pass this by. Feel free to participate. And we're going to start off with these little cups. If you're not familiar with these things, we start with the cracker, the wafer, the bread thing. So we'll start with that. And I'll wait till people get this received. I will read this passage that's towards the tail end of this chapter 11 verse. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. So that's a personal warning. Again, as a church, we're not trying to hold you accountable. God is holding you accountable. And so you personally, am I right with the Lord enough today? This reconnecting with God today in communion can help with that. So that's what we're going to do. And I think most people have got it. So I'm going to start reading right in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had broke it, said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your willingness to go and be the sacrifice we needed to come back to you, have relationship with you. Thank you for your obedience and for your example of obedience. Help us to respond as you would have us do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all eat together. Now you can turn your cup over and open the other side. And if you got little kids, look out, kids. Be careful. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray again. Lord, thank you for your shed blood. Thank you that we can rely on your sacrifice to cover our sin and to help us to come to you. Thank you again for your obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all drink together. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, I didn't look ahead and talk to the guys in the booth there. Poor Victor, he's going to be on. I got to keep him on his toes today. Last Sunday, I had the pleasure of baptizing four people. That was amazing, and it was a little bit different situation because it was a family setting, a family cottage with very little parking, and Marty and Brody said, "Hey, can we do this a little bit, not real big, It ended up being 20-some people, probably around 20 people. But Ben Fite was also one of the ones who came. Well, Marty and Brody and Dana are not here today. But we have a certificate, so I'd like to pray with Ben. And I'm going to hold this back until after we pray. Lord, I thank you for Ben's obedience and listening to your voice and responding to your call, and not just receiving you as Savior, but then making a public proclamation and showing the world that, yes, I am a follower of Christ. Thank you. I ask you to bless him, Lord. Bless him and help him to more and more see the ministry that you have set before him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
And thank you to Dylan, who assisted. That was really fun. I think I had some pictures there, but I don't know what happened to the pictures, and so I'm putting Victor on the spot. Oh, there's some. There we go. There's some pictures, yeah. So it was Marty and his son Brody and Brody's girlfriend Dana and Ben. Well, we've been started a study on the statements of faith that our church has, and kind of going through and explaining and talking and bringing those before us. How many of you have ever read the statements of faith of our church? You know, the leadership certainly has, but a lot of you chair sitters maybe have not. So today it's number 3, the third point. And I'll just read it first off. Are you done with those photos? Yeah, there we go, right there. God made man in his own image with free will, moral character, and a spiritual nature. Man fell into sin, bringing depravity and death into the world. And as a sinner, man is self-centered, self-willed, unwilling, and unable to break with sin. Wow. A mouthful. Let's pray. Well, Lord, I thank you for this group of people that are gathered here today, and help me to proclaim your message. Help me to hear your Spirit's leading, and ask you to especially work in the hearts of those listening, that they would receive what your Spirit offers. And just want to commit this time to you. Help us to be faithful as we look into your word, in Jesus' name. So, God created man in his image. I'm going to start right off with a couple of passages there. Go ahead, next slide. Then, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. If you remember Genesis, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he went through and all those 6 days of creation, and this is on the sixth day, if you recall that. And all the creeping things that were on the ground, and the cattle and livestock and all those other animals were created on that day. And then, kind of the cherry on top of the sundae, or whatever you want to call us, God created man. So let's look at verse 26 and 7. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I don't think I've got it on the screen. Genesis 2:7, I added this later. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In that first passage in 26 and 7, it says, "Let us make God in our image." Oh, by the way, "let us make mankind." The term for God in that passage is Elohim, and the second part of the name, him, is plural. Plural. Elohim, which is why it's translated, "Let us make man in our image." Again, speaking of the Trinity. And then when you get to the term there, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Two different terms. Image is selam in Hebrew, and likeness is demut in Hebrew. But they use them interchangeably in Scripture. They kind of, they're synonyms. They're in likeness, much the same, after the fashion of. So they are used interchangeably, some is what I read. They both indicate qualities that God and man share, like self-consciousness, God-consciousness, freedom, moral discernment, responsibility, and speech, and you probably can think of other qualities. So that's some of the ways that we are like God. How many animals can go and talk to you? Your pet, your dog, you might say, I know what he wants. But it's not the same as speech, is it? And if you look at a parrot, you know, they can mimic the sounds of the words, but they aren't really communicating with speech. And I don't know about you, but I have enough trouble myself speaking sometimes, communicating with someone and getting a thought across. Well, let's move on. Again, that's part of the image. Genesis 5, 1 to 2. It's got several passages I'm talking about that are reiterating God made us in his image. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. Mankind, that term is Adam, which refers to red. It has the color red in the connotation. And you know, maybe that's because God made Adam out of clay. Maybe. We really don't know. I don't know about you, but do your kids ever play with clay when they're kids? We have a bunch of clay around our house, and the kids and the grandkids are always grabbing clay often, and it makes a big mess, but they like to make things that are their own creation. And I noticed that this is a different thing in Scripture on how God created. You know, the animals and the planets and the plants and all those things were like, I said it and it happened. But what about man? Said it formed him and breathed into his nostrils. Much, much more intimate, I think. I think, wow, this is really, this is close. Genesis 9:6, there we go. Whoever shed human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind. Another short one from James. Oh, you don't have that. Okay. Where are we at? Deuteronomy. Don't skip around. You keep it right in the order it's got there, because I'm the one that's skipping around. I will read a couple of these other ones before we get to that, because I did add some. James 3:9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Yikes. Ephesians 2:4. Talking about being born again and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now my phone's going to wake up here. So now that Deuteronomy passage. This is... when we talk about that, I guess I get back to the first page there. God created man in his image. And now we're going to shift over about on this statement of faith and talk about free will and moral character and spiritual nature. So that free will is what we're talking about next. And I was thinking about the story of Moses when he's near the end of his life. You remember this story? And he's the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land, but God says, Moses, you can't go. You can't go, but you can see, you can look. And so Moses gives a farewell speech. How many of you have been hearing George Washington's farewell speech with the 250th anniversary of our country going on. That's one of the famous prayers or speeches that I've heard bits and pieces of. Well, this is Moses' farewell address, if you will, and just a part of it. See, I set before you today life and liberty and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years than the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And another similar, for me, farewell address after Joshua leads the children of Israel across the Jordan. They conquer all these tribes, and getting towards the end of Joshua's life. And Joshua does another address. And he says, but if, just as Joshua 24:15. Well, that one's up there, yeah. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. God, we have had choices. We do have choices today. Do you automatically do what's right? Do you automatically obey God? Well, that gets us to the next part of the path, the next part of that statement of faith. Man fell into sin. So next one, I think, there, Victor? Yes, yes. Genesis chapter 3, this is the fall story, the story of the fall, 6 through 12, and then we'll add on verses 17 and 18. Should be probably familiar, but I'm going to read it. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit of the tree, and I ate it." Down to verse 17 and 18. To Adam, kind of the results. To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life, and it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." They exercised their free will, but it wasn't very pretty, was it? wasn't very pretty. And did you catch that little bit of tone? I've heard that a lot about Adam saying, well, it's the woman you gave me. Right? He even tries to shift the blame a little bit. It's like, well, her. But Adam did. And when it talks about the sin of Adam, I think that's talking about the sin of mankind. Both Adam and Eve blew it there, didn't they? They both did. How many of you are parents or teachers? I'm going to kind of shift around how I had this on my notes. How many of you are parents? Grandparents? How about if you're single and, or maybe you've never had kids, but you have someone that you've kind of taken under your wing and brought along and said, oh, hey, my friend, my person I'm trying to teach or mentor, I'm trying to show you some things in life. I'm trying to teach you. Maybe it's a job site. I'm trying to show you this skill. What are we trying to do? You know, in a word, we're trying to pass on or duplicate or reproduce the skill we have or the teaching we're trying to pass on. We're trying to duplicate that and pass it on. And it's a poor imitation of what God was doing, I think. It's just a shadow, just a glimpse. But, you know, I've had people, I know most of you have, maybe all of you have had someone that you've, whether it's your child or someone else, you say, you really ought to do this. Or you really ought to not do that. Or if you want to learn how to do this, I'll show you. And this are the steps and this is the procedure. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that we can pass that on and we can have that little tiny glimpse of being like God in that way, passing on and sharing. But this isn't the rest of this statement of faith. Man fell into sin. That's what happened in this part here. And what happened? What happened with that? Romans 5:12. There we go. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people, because all sinned. Verse 6:20. Yeah, there you go. 20 and do I have 23 on there too? I think it's just 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you have memorized the Romans Road? What's he talking about? The Romans Road. Do you remember the Romans Road? It's a way to draw someone closer to the Lord or lead someone to the Lord. I get my pages all mixed up here. And staying right in the book of Romans. It simplifies it that way. There it is. So this is, I'm just going to list the verses for the Romans Road. The one we just read. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the first one. We're talking about some bad news, I think, aren't you? The wages of sin is death. 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God commends his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that God raised him, I keep trying to remember it from heart by heart. I'm going to fumble it on. Scott will have to help me out. Yeah, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And I'm not going to try and spit from memory all these. Romans 10:13. Romans 5:1 and Romans 8:1. So you can look it up. If you look online, just Google or search for Romans Road. And you can find it there. And it's an easy way. If you get your open your Bible, you don't have to fumble through the whole Bible. Some of it is back and forth, as you notice. It doesn't go consecutively through the book, those concepts, but they're brought forth there. Romans 8, 19 to 22. There we go. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole of creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Don't you sense that tension? That tension of, this is beautiful. You get out here a beautiful day like today and it looks really nice. But how many of you, we came from the north and we drove through down State Road and you get past where recently that windstorm came through and knocked all those trees down. There's trees coming almost into the road. The tops are cut off. Or the ice storm winter before last, or this last blast of snow and flooding and things that we had. There's a tension. There's a tension there. Those of you that are sick who have serious illnesses going on, isn't there a tension? I want to love God, but God, why is it so hard? Why is it like it should be easy, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it? I think God, we're deducing, it's not flat out stated, but when God created man before the fall, it was nice. It was good. There wasn't that tension, but now there's that tension. The Apostle Paul talks about in his own life, his own struggles with sin. The Apostle Paul? Yeah. It wasn't easy for him either. And I don't know about you, I struggle with sin. I'm not there. I haven't arrived. I choose sin way too often. I'm selfish, self-centered, all those things. That's me. And as long as I'm in this body, I'm afraid I'm going to struggle with that. Romans 7. Oh, you got 8. Where did we go? Maybe I've got the wrong reference here. Maybe I got it. Well, I'm going to read Romans 7. Romans 7, 21 to 25. Sorry there, Victor, if you don't have that one. Maybe this is one I added on. I told Karen does the slides, and I talked to her, and I've had a busy week, as many of you have, well, here's the verses, and I called her later and said, well, let's shuffle them. I got to change the order around. And I added some that she didn't get. That's okay. You can look in your Bibles, too. And if there are Bibles on the seats in front of you if you didn't bring one. So Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 25. This is Paul speaking. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, and although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. We're told to obey, right? Obey and strive to follow God. But as Paul says in Philippians 3, he said, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's a struggle. I don't feel like I'm winning all the time. It's easy for me to maybe for a day at a time say, oh, throw it in the towel, I give up. I can't be good enough. And we can't, right? That's why we need Jesus. What's the connection between sin and death? What's the connection there? Sin and death. If death has nothing to do with sin and Adam's fall and my personal sin, what was Christ's death for? Why did he die? If sin had nothing to do with it, if death preceded Adam, was a whole different thing, then why are we Christians? Why did he come to die on that cross? When Christ comes again, and we hear and read in Scripture about the new heaven and the new earth, how's that going to happen? Billions of years? Things are happening, things will change, and all of a sudden, after 40 billion years, then the new heaven and new earth? Do we believe it could happen quickly when Christ comes again? Is that a one and done? It never happened before? Think about that. And sin is kind of like a disease. Sometimes I get the handle on it, you know? Kind of like getting chicken pox when you're a kid. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, my kid's got chicken pox. Well, hey, can my kids come over? We'll get it too, like you used to do with measles. But then you get to be older, and all of a sudden, shingles, I thought this was behind me. And here it raises its ugly head again, even worse than the first time. That's the way sin can be. I struggle, you struggle. And I know a lot of you folks are different than me. Maybe you view creation in a different way, but I'm going to read this quote from Ken Ham, which a lot of you will recognize his name. My wife passed this on to me this week. To preach a gospel without the message of Christ as creator and the entrance of sin and death is to preach a gospel without a foundation. To preach a gospel without the message of Christ and his crucifixion and resurrection is to preach a gospel without power. To preach a gospel without the message of the coming kingdom is to preach a gospel without hope. It's not the end of the story. You know, this statement of faith, it sounds, you know, it's the bad news. Man fell, he fell into sin, he's unwilling and unable to break with sin. And as we hear more of these points of our statement of faith, it's not the end of the story. We do have hope. God didn't create mankind and we sin and that's it. That's the end of the story. We blew it. It's over. No, there's hope. There's hope. And that's why Christ came. And that's why we have his sacrifice. And his shed blood covers our sin. He is sufficient. You know, he wants to remember that imagery of God making man out of clay, breathing in his nostrils and bringing him to life, and that intimacy, that's what he wants to bring back, and he can, And he does. And yes, like Paul says, we're going to struggle while we're still in this earthly body. But one day, he will come again. And one day, if we've been faithful to follow the provision he's offered, we're going to be intimate with him even more than we are here. Even more. We can be intimate with him now through faith, receiving Christ as Savior, but even more so when he comes again. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your willingness to come down and speak to me. To me. And I tried being good enough, and it wasn't really working. But I desired to be good enough, to be with you, to have a relationship with you. And I thank you that you do continue to offer yourself to us, that you are willing, you are offering to cover our sins, to take down that barrier that is between us and you, that relational barrier. Thank you that you gave of yourself to help us come back to you. And if there's anybody who is listening and thinking, I do desire to be godly, and I do see that I'm not there, I'm struggling, Lord, you speak to their hearts, please. Help them to reach back to you, to answer you like Adam, only in a positive way. Yes, Lord, I will obey. Yes, Lord, I will receive you. Yes, Lord, I want relationship. And if you do want to do that, please feel free to talk to Keith or myself or one of the leaders of the church. Lord, thank you for your Spirit's power and indwelling, and your outreach to all of us. Help us to receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.